Okay, so Caden, are you singing along?
Or
Jay?
Yeah.
You want to sing along in the hymns too, would you?
I could.
Jay will.
So I just go sit back there then? Is that the deal? Or?
You can be up here or wherever you're at because you have the cordless, right?
Yeah, but that might be way too loud or something, I think.
Well, he'll...
No, I don't want to sing.
Nope.
He'll put you down, I'm sure, from what the solo... Yeah, Jay will sing along. Even with majesty, you can sing, if you don't mind. Okay? So, let me know when you're ready. Okay, Cheryl.
We want that green light to go on, Mike. We want that green light, Mike.
Oh, my gosh.
The one we were talking about. Yeah, see? Right back there. Oh, is it actually going?
Yeah. You can go whenever you want.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful prelude. It is well with my soul, and we can say that in Christ, because he is the strength of our lives. And when we know him as our Lord and Savior, whatever happens, we can say it is well. So welcome to our worship service today. This is for Sunday, April 26th. We're glad that you're joining us. I just have a couple announcements regarding first the Easter lilies. If you gave one of these in memory of a loved one, you can sure come by the church office this next week, probably in the mornings would be best, and pick yours up if you'd like to enjoy it in your own home for a while. But thank you again for sharing that with us. Also, I wanted to say that we are going to on Sunday, later the 26th, we're going to be recording a service of scripture and prayer and praise. So that will be online possibly Sunday night at some point, or if not, then on Monday anyway. So just a heads up there, That is an addition to the Sunday morning service. I think you will enjoy that as well. And lastly, I just want to mention, as we're not able to gather together and see each other like we long to do, we want you to know that if you have any prayer needs or concerns or anything like that, the church office is still open in the mornings, Tuesday through Friday. You can certainly call, stop by, or whatever it might be, but we are here for you. So we're going to sing our opening praise song, number 32, as we worship His Majesty. Heavenly Father, we are here to worship You as Almighty God. Jesus, we are here to worship You, our King, the King of Kings, in all of Your majesty, in all of Your glory, in all of Your power, for we know that it is at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we do confess that out of our mouths, and we honor You, Jesus, as our Lord and our Savior. Thank You for this worship service today. Father, we ask for Your presence to fill our lives, to fill this sanctuary, to fill the homes of the people who are watching over the internet during this time. Lord, You are sovereign over all, and You reign. No matter what happens on this earth, You reign, and You are our God and our Father, and we love You and thank You for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn will be number 63. If you'd like to stand, you certainly can. All Creatures of Our God and King, 63. Thank you. seated. Thank you. We do praise him. He is our creator, our maker, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. I have some joys and concerns to share here at this time. First of all, a special congratulations to Matthew and Jenna Pressler. Matthew is a son of Steve and Sherry Pressler. And Jenna had a little baby girl this last Tuesday. Her name is Eden Jean Pressler. So congratulations to them. Also prayers for the family of Ernie Fisher. Ernie had been a resident over at the Scotland Care Center, and he went home to heaven on this last Thursday, which was his 98th birthday. So we pray for his family. Also for Greg Liebel from Menno here, he was to have surgery on Friday to have two toes removed. It was due to a lot of complications going on his leg and foot there. So prayers for him during this time. Continued prayers for Elmer Nath and Dennis Doring, both gentlemen in hospice care with cancer. And as the struggles get greater there in their lives, we want to lift them up. So let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the joys of a new baby born to Matthew and Jenna Pressler, a healthy, beautiful little girl, Eden Jean. And we ask your blessing upon them and their home and their lives and your safety over them during this time, Lord. We pray for the family of Ernie Fisher at his home going and ask that you comfort them, the family, his children, their spouses, the grandchildren. Father, as always, we thank you for Jesus. That Jesus, you are the one who made a way to heaven for all who believe in you, who come to you, Father, through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We continue to lift up Elmer Nath and Dennis Doring during this time when they're both in hospice care and facing great struggles right now in their lives. Thank you for watching over them. Thank you for holding them in your everlasting arms, Lord. For your word says the eternal God is our refuge, that you ride the heavens to help us, and underneath are your everlasting arms. Lord, for Greg Liebel as he recovers from the surgery of having two toes removed, thank you for your healing power in his body. Lord, for many, many more who have health difficulties, we lift them up. For those in our care centers, here in Menno and around the area, when they can't see their families, it's difficult for all. We just pray your comfort in these times, Lord, of this pandemic that we continue to face. We pray for healing to those who have the virus. We pray for strength to our healthcare workers, those on the front lines of the battle. We pray for wisdom to our president and vice president, our congressmen and women, for our governor, Kristi Noem, for our local city officials as decisions are made when to open things back up and how to move forward from here. Lord, we look to you, for you are greater than all, and you are all-powerful. We thank you for your power at work to rid this virus from our nation, from our world. In Jesus' name, we pray for our military. Several have been activated of the guards and troops in different places as a result of this pandemic. And many serve around the world faithfully. Guard them and keep them, Lord, we pray. Thank you for pouring out your spirit upon our nation in the midst of all of this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Psalm 128, verses 1 through 4, before we receive our offering. We're not actually receiving it here today, you know that. But I want to say again, thanks to those who've been either mailing theirs in or stopping by the church. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving to the Lord. So Psalm 128, verses 1 through 4, this is from the New Living Translation. How happy are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How happy you will be. How rich your life. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine flourishing within your home. And look at those children. Okay, now you young families, this is for you right here, okay? And look at those, and look at all those children. There they sit around your table, as vigorous and healthy as young olive trees. That is the Lord's reward for those who fear him. So, you again, that's Psalm 128, 1 through 4, New Living Translation. As I know you're homeschooling and trying to do all these things, and it can be overwhelming, so you might need to get that verse written down and put it at your dinner table there. God bless you as you continue to give. We'll stand and sing the doxology. Father, we do praise you as we continue to bring our offerings and our tithes into your storehouse. Father, this is your house of worship. Here we are, Lord, in the spring of the year, and things at this point are so much better than last year regarding the soil and the wetness, the extreme conditions we battled last year. And Lord, this is the time of sowing seed. And we know well how this works. Sowing seed in the natural, in the earth, and you bring the harvest. And as we sow our seed into your kingdom through our offerings, you are the one who brings the harvest and provides for all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And so we thank you for doing that. Thank you for the weather conditions that have been favorable, and we pray that they continue, Lord Jesus. It's a busy time. Thank you for watching over all, for multiplying these gifts given in Jesus' name. And Father, we do confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll have the Kingdom Kids time now.
Well, hello, boys and girls. This is the sixth service that we have done, and we still miss you all so much. Here's my heart going out to you. We love you, and we're praying for you. We want you to know that. And I just want to thank those that were able to send us some more scriptures and some pictures. We have them up on the board over there, and I want you boys and girls to know that all the other pictures and messages that you've sent to us, to the church, and Pastor Mike and I, they are taped where I can see them all. So now I have something to look at. And I'm still going to believe, I'm going to pretend that you're still here. I know you are there. So anyway, do you know what? God wants to use you. And he is using you. You may ask, how, why, what? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because we're going to talk about that, but just in a few minutes. First, we're going to review. Now, you remember our two friends, Edward Orange and George Orange. We've been using them to help us to get a visual on what it's like when we have our armor on and when we don't. Well, I have to confess, they're not with us anymore because I ate them. I did. They're not here anymore. All right, I want you to know that George was really, really juicy because he sat in that water a long time. Anyway, so what pieces of armor have we been studying about so far? We're studying about the armor of God, the armor that God's given us. Let's see. Yes, you're right. We've studied first about the belt of truth. And remember, we said that our soldier, before he would go into battle, he would tuck up anything that was down here, so that he would tuck it up in his belt so that when he went into battle, he wouldn't be tripped up with the clothing or the pieces. That's our belt of truth. So how does that relate to us? So see, oops, I shouldn't have thrown it so soon. So our belt of truth, you know, the devil might come to us and he may tell us that, you know, you're not any good, you are not going to make it. And he tries to trip us up with ideas and thoughts. Don't do that. Do something wrong. Don't obey God. Did God really say that's true? Did God really say that? And so we take those imaginations, we take those thoughts, and we tuck them up into our belt of truth, which is the Word of God. And that's what we do, because that's how we stand against the devil, because, you know, we are in a fight. Oh, I did tell you that, right? Yeah, I think I did. The first time when we looked at this. So we're in Ephesians chapter 10, and this is what it says. I mean chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So in fact, I have a challenge for you this week. I want you to memorize just chapter 6, verse 10. So say it after me, okay? This is what I want you to memorize. Finally, be strong in the Lord. You have to repeat that after me. Finally, be strong in the Lord. And in his mighty power.
And in his mighty power.
Thank you. That's what I want you to, we'll eventually do a few verses there that talk about the armor, but let's start right there, okay? Now, we're not fighting physically, like this tells us. We don't fight physically with our fists or with our legs or anything. We are fighting spiritually. And that means that this armor that God has given us, we put this on. And we stand against the devil when he comes against us. We also use prayer. That's a weapon. We spend time praising God and thanking him. And we spend lots of time, extra time now, because God has given us. We have got extra time here on our hands. So that's what we do. So what was our second piece of armor? You are right. It was the helmet of salvation that we talked about. When, you know, the devil comes against our minds and he says things to us like, you are not loved by God. You are not saved. You are not in the family of God. But what do we do, boys and girls? We put on our helmet of salvation. And that reminds us that we are saved. That it's not by anything we do, but it's by what Jesus did. He saved us. He loves us. When we ask him to come into our lives and be our Lord and Savior, we become a member of the body of Christ, right? That's what we do. So now I want to talk about the third one that we're going to talk about today, and it's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand, verse 14. Stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. And I'm stopping that verse a little early, but this is what we're talking about now. The breastplate of righteousness. Now here's the picture of our soldier. You can see his helmet, you can see his belt, and you can see his breastplate, which starts from like his neck all the way down to his thighs. That's what the breastplate covers. Now, when I think about this breastplate, what are the vital organs behind the breastplate? Yep, you're right, the heart. Yes, you're right, our lungs. Kidneys, right? The liver, right, and so on. There are things behind this. So this breastplate protects the soldier from a deadly blow that would kill him. Well, what does our breastplate of righteousness talk about? A couple things. First, we remember that our righteousness is not in ourselves. In fact, the Bible says it's like filthy rags, right? Jesus is the one who paid for our sins. He's the one who saved us, and he gave us his righteousness. He gave us the ability to stand right before God. That's the first thing. Well, the second thing is that when we put on our breastplate of righteousness, it means that we try to live right. We try to act right, like we know we should. We don't have to do this by ourselves either, because we have the Holy Spirit, boys and girls, who lives inside of us. All we have to do is ask him. He is ready to help us in this. God gave us this breastplate of protection to protect our heart and our soul from the attacks of the devil. Just as this breastplate for the soldiers protected their vital parts, God protects us with it, with choosing right. Our right choices will protect us from those attacks of the devil when we choose not to listen to him, but to do the right thing. So when we want to do the right thing, we have to find scriptures in the Bible if we're not sure about. Or we also look to the Bible to tell us all about God and to learn about him and to tell us how we should act, right? We find scriptures about obeying our parents, about loving each other, about loving God, about putting others first. So especially now when we're isolated from a lot of other people, when we can't go to school, we can't do all the things that we have done 6 weeks ago, we're home. How can we put on the breastplate of righteousness? Well, do it right there. Look at your parents and put on your breastplate of righteousness. And what does that mean? What does that look like? It means that you are going to obey them. It looks like you are respecting them. How about your brothers and sisters, right? A lot of times we lose our temper, we fight with our fists, we push them down, we call them names, we're mean to them, all of these things. Now, is that how you want to be treated? No, of course not, it isn't how you want to be treated. So why don't you do this? You and I both. Treat them as you would want to be treated, right? Because we don't want to be treated like that. No, I don't think so. And if we don't know what we should do, remember the bracelets and all this, the slogan that used to go around? Whoops. back days or years ago, WWJD. Mm-hmm. Remember that? What did that stand for? What would Jesus do? So if you have any question about whether I'm going to do this and whether I should do this, if it's a right choice, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Put on your armor, obey God, he lives in you, and like I told you at the beginning, God wants to use you, and he is using you, boys and girls. When we put on our armor of God, when we show love to others, when we do the things he wants us to do that are pleasing to him, when we obey our parents, love our siblings, love others, we are being used by God and showing others that love. Let's do it. Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful to be here in church again. And we thank you that we are learning about the armor. We're learning all about many things here while we're here. Help us to use that this week. Help us to remember about our armor pieces. Help us to remember, first of all, to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Bless these boys and girls as they go and go into battle against the enemy, against their thoughts, against the choices that want to come against them that are not good choices. Help them, and we thank you for living in them and in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keep sending in those scriptures and those pictures, boys and girls.
Thank you, Anne. We have a special music today. Jay Herbolt is going to sing for us, Lord, I Need You. Beautiful song, and the words are great. So thank you, Jay and Cheryl. Jay and Cheryl, such an appropriate song for the days we are living in. We need him. Let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, As we think of those words, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you, how we need you. And you are with us. You promise us in your word that you never leave us, you never forsake us, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? That answer is nothing, not one thing. Father, we thank you for the encouragement that comes to us from your word, the power of your word, the very living word of God, that you inspired men of old to write and to record as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit of God, that we have the completion of your word to us today from Genesis to Revelation, all that you have to say to us, your word, the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. And so as we look into it again this morning, Father, I yield myself to you. I ask for you to speak to our hearts by the Spirit of God. I ask for you to speak through me by your Spirit to all who are listening. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What a beautiful song. Thank you guys for doing that very much. So we were in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, last Sunday. We're going to go into chapter 2 today, although the second chapter consists of 49 verses. So I am not going to read all the second chapter of Daniel. I'm going to start in verse 10 in just a moment. But this is still when Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. If you remember, the people of Judah had been carried off there into exile. And Nebuchadnezzar is king, and he is having this reoccurring dream that is very troubling to him. And he's asking for his astrologers, enchanters, sorcerers of his kingdom to not only interpret the dream for him, but he's not even going to tell him his dream. They have to tell him what his dream is and then give the interpretation. Can you imagine that? And so starting in verse 10 of chapter 2 in Daniel is their response to the king's request. The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you, and I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power, You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these." And that's where we'll stop. The rest of the chapter goes on where Daniel explains that, and I hope you will read it further as you have time at home. So just a quick review from last week. We talked about Daniel being a young man. Remember, he was just between 14 and 18 years of age when they hauled him off down there to Babylon. He had his mind made up. His mind was made up. The New International Version said he was resolved. He was not going to defile himself with the royal food and wine that the king was asking them to partake of. So Daniel, these three Hebrew children and the others, they were living, as I said, in a very godless time in Judah. They had departed largely from God's word, and that's why judgment was coming. That's why God brought Nebuchadnezzar down to Judah to conquer them, to take them back to Babylon as prisoners. But we have to know Daniel, as he arrived there, he was strong in his moral convictions based on God's word. He was strong and settled on his biblical standards that he had been taught from an infant all the way up, just in those 14 to 18 years. He was strong in that. His mind was made up. Remember, he served four kings who were all ungodly kings in that 70 years that he lived over in Babylon. It was a difficult time, but you know what? He kept his eye on the King of Kings, and that is important for us to know. So remember, the culture shock. They had marched 700 miles at least from Jerusalem over to Babylon. And I talked about that from Menno down to Dallas, Texas last Sunday, being like 782 miles is what Google Maps said. One of the guys called me this week and he said, "Pastor Mike, we are truly a spoiled people, aren't we? When I took a bus ride down to Dallas," to watch the Cowboys get beat, by the way, "I took a bus and I grumbled and I said, nothing is worth a bus ride to Dallas, Texas and back." Well, this guy stands as tall as I do. You might know who I mean. And I agree with him. Yeah, even in the comfort of that bus, at that time it would have been heated, but cushioned seats and everything. If you're 6'4", your legs are scrunched in those seats, and in our day, it's not comfortable. But these guys were marched to Babylon, 700 miles. And when they got there, again, I talked about the greatness of that city. Walls, 56 miles of walled city around it. The walls so wide, you could have two chariots pass each other, two four-horse chariots. That's pretty wide. A beautiful, magnificent city for the time. Today, the ruins, they would be located about 50 to 60 miles south of present-day Baghdad, Iraq. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So today, though, I want to go on here. We're going to be talking more about prayer. These guys, Daniel, his friends, you know what? They were committed to prayer. It was a pattern in their lives, as it needs to be in all of our lives. Because if it is, if we are committed to prayer, not just in church, but in our homes, in the lives we live, that whether the times are good or whether the times are bad, it's very easy to say, let's go to prayer over this situation. Let's lift it up to the Lord. So the king, as I said, back here to Daniel chapter 2, it says he was troubled by these dreams he was having. He could not sleep. He calls in all of his astrologers, which, by the way, Babylon, they were very advanced in their civilization at that time. Astrology, advanced beyond probably any other people groups on the earth at that time. I've talked about this different times when we're coming up to Christmas or right after with the wise men, right? They came from the east, very likely from this part of the world. They came, they studied the stars, they knew, they saw that star that was going to lead them to the birth of the Messiah. They traveled for a couple years, it's believed, to get there to Bethlehem where Jesus was. How did they come to know about all of that? During these 70 years, 600 years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem, here was Daniel, these Hebrew children, telling these astrologers and enchanters and all about the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who set the stars in their places and in motion and the planets and all that, telling them there is a Messiah who is coming. And 600 years later, that message was passed down. Those wise men obviously took hold of those scriptures and came and bowed at the feet of Jesus, presenting their gifts to him. But so Nebuchadnezzar, he's as I said at the intro here, he's having these dreams. He's wanting them to interpret them, and he's not even going to tell them what he dreamt. Imagine that. In any time, imagine that today. Sometimes husbands, wives, you might get up in the morning and you might say to your spouse, boy, did I have a crazy dream last night. And have you ever said to your spouse, the one who's had the dream, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, you got to tell me what it is. Well, how could you ever do that? You couldn't, right? But that's what the king was asking. And the king, it says, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I'm going to have you cut in pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. That's quite a sentence, isn't it? And there was no mercy in those days. The astrologers, as I read, they said, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. And the king was so angry and furious, what he orders, their execution, doesn't he? But Daniel, as I said, letter or number two there, committed to prayer. What does he do? And what do we need to do? Your letter A, if you're filling out the outline there. When we need guidance and wisdom, what do we need to do? We need to follow Daniel's example. Go to prayer. So often we run to everybody else and everywhere else first before we stop and we go to the Lord. When Arioch, the king's officer, comes to him, he says, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? And Arioch explains to him. And here again, it says that this Daniel went into the king and asked for time. Just a side note here, too. You see, even when Daniel spoke to Arioch, it says he spoke to him with wisdom and tact. We see the humility in Daniel's heart. He didn't, from the get-go, even with the diet, he didn't just go in demanding, I'm not eating this, and he asked permission, right? Here again, we see, he goes to the king, he asks him, hey, can you give me some time before you execute everybody? Give me some time to pray and seek God about this, and I'll come back to you. Well, the king trusted him. So what did Daniel do? Verse 17 of chapter 2, he goes back to his house. He explains the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, as we know them better, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And what does he do? He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. Prayer, that's what that is. Prayer, pleading to God for mercy. I don't know about you, but there's many times when I plead for God's mercy. Oh, certainly one of the times is, it was this last November. I had a wedding in Sioux Falls with someone from our congregation, and it was late at night, and I was coming home, and I was driving faster than I should have been driving. And wouldn't you know it, there was the county sheriff, I think it was, sitting there south of Marion on whatever that highway is, 44, Highway 44. And I saw him, and immediately I just let off the foot feet, and I was like, Lord, please have mercy. Please have mercy upon me. And I just pulled over, and he comes up and says, you know, you're going a little fast there, sir. And I'm in my suit and tie, and I said, I know. I am sorry, and to make it worse, I just did a wedding, and I'm the preacher, and I should know better. He says, I'll let you go this time with a warning. Thank you, Lord. You know, it does good to plead for mercy. It does good to go the speed limit, too. Not too long after that, someone who I won't name, because I don't want to embarrass him, got pulled over in the very same spot, near there, and he got a ticket. I said, did you ask God for mercy? No, I didn't, he said. I said, well, next time you better try that. Anyway, they pleaded to God for mercy. This was a matter of life and death, wasn't it? They needed God's wisdom in a very miraculous way. And they went to prayer. Now, we know, does God usually answer our prayers that quick? Sometimes he does. Most of the time he does not. It takes time as we seek him and for him to answer according to his will. But God did answer. So prayer, what do we do in our families, with our families, in our homes, with prayer? At the very, very least minimal step number one, you better be praying over your meals, my goodness. Certainly we know that, okay? Then, any of the couples of this church that I have married, you know I give you this talk, every one of you, for you to pray together. Can be awkward. I know it can, but it is so important. And as I say to the couples, it is pretty hard to stay mad at your spouse if you're going to be praying with her or him, whichever the case may be. It just doesn't mesh together, does it? So we operate this. How about with our children in the morning before school or at bedtime? Those prayers are so important in their lives. Praying throughout the day. I had a guy just this last week, too, talking to me. He called telling me about this project he had to do on his tractor, something that had to be replaced. He said, he called up to whatever the dealer was. I don't know what brand the tractor was. They said, well, you're going to have to take off the whole cab to get to that part, which is going to be this many hours of labor, which is going to be this much per hour of labor. The guy's like, we're not doing that. And so he had spent long hours trying to get to that and took out all these parts in the cab. And I said to him, you know, he's like, we're going to get this. I said, next time you go at it, why don't you just lift up a prayer to the Lord first and see what happens. And he texted me the next day and he says, you know what, Pastor Mike, we did that. And we got that bolt in where it needed to go in 50 minutes. Now, we know it doesn't always work that way either, but praise the Lord, it did that time. See what under this, the next one, number one, God answers. And God answered Daniel and those Hebrew young men during the night, verse 19. The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, and wow, what a beautiful prayer there. That is in verses 20 through 23. This whole pandemic, I believe a big part of it is God is trying to say to the nation and the world, you know what? I am in charge. It's not you. I said this a couple weeks ago. We think we're so high and mighty on this earth, and we can make all our plans and all our decisions and all these things that we love to do so very much. And all of a sudden, it is all shut down completely. 6 weeks, I guess, or where, depending what part of the country you live in. And it's getting old, isn't it? It is. But we have to be patient. He said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. Now listen to these next phrases. He, God, changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep things and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. And then Daniel says, I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we, see, there was more than one going to prayer with him, what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. The other morning, it was just Tuesday or Wednesday morning this week, I was getting ready. We have a TV above our fridge there. We watch the news, listen to it when I'm having breakfast. I was out ironing my shirt, which is just out in the laundry room, those of you that know what the parsonage is like, so I can still hear it. And this is, I actually had to Google this to make sure I had it right. This was a commercial that came on. It said, at a time when things are uncertain, we turn to the most certain thing there is. And I stopped ironing and I thought, oh, this is going to be a Christian commercial, I bet. Listen to it again, the first part. At a time when things are uncertain, we turn to the most certain thing there is. What do you think in my mind, probably your minds, what am I thinking the next thing is going to be? To God himself and his word. You know what it said? We turn to the most uncertain thing there is, science. And it goes on. Science can overcome diseases. Science creates cures and, yes, beats pandemics. It has before and it will again. Science will win. Actually, when it said science, I set the iron up, went out. I thought, what in the world is this commercial coming on? And I'm standing there watching, and it's Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. You know, they make all these medicines. I thought, let me say this first of all. Yes, thank God for science. You that are scientists or in the medical field, thank God. But is it your wisdom? It is not your wisdom. I hate to tell you, if you think it is, it comes from God Almighty. All that we know today, scientifically, computers, the technology, the everything, that wisdom comes from God. And how prideful to say, wow. To me, that is so prideful. At a time when things are uncertain, we turn to the most certain thing there is, science. Wow. Dangerous place. You know what? The king himself, Nebuchadnezzar at this time, he was such a prideful man. If you go on over into chapter 4, he's just bragging about this kingdom of Babylon that he had built, which was the world power. I built this, I did that, all me, everything that was said. And you know what? God humbled him. God came to him. If you look into chapter 4, and he says, And Daniel is again speaking to him by the Spirit of God. Seven times are going to pass by for you, king, until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. And then, there's more to it. Remember, he said, you're going to lose your mind, I'm paraphrasing, and you are going to become like a wild animal and crawl around on your hands and knees until you repent. And it happened. It did. He went insane. It says his hair was as long as the feathers of an eagle's wings. His fingernails grew as long as the talons of a bird. And he crawled around and ate the grass and the dew and all. And it says, when you repent, again, your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. That heaven rules. Our nation needs to acknowledge that God rules. Again, thank God for science, but wow, that is not the answer in and of itself. Okay, let me get back to this here. See, Daniel asked, he gives the dream, the king, the interpretation, tells him the dream, gives him the interpretation. But you know what? What's sort of neat here? When God gives Daniel the dream, he goes back to Arioch, the king's commander, and he says, tell the king, do not execute the wise men from Babylon. See, Daniel is wanting mercy to all of those. Even those astrologers at that time, the enchanters, the sorcerers, they were probably very ungodly men who worshipped many different false gods. But Daniel is asking for mercy on their behalf. Why? I believe so he has more time with them to share the message of the Messiah that is throughout the Old Testament. It's pretty neat that he asks for mercy there. God says to the king, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. And I love this verse. It's in verse 28, chapter 2. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Amen. There is a God in heaven, yes. And so then he goes on to explain the vision there. Let her see. The vision, it's explained. Now, I'm not going into this, but this is incredible prophecy starting in verse 31 to the end of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2, 31 to the end. He explains this vision, and incredible, by the Spirit of God, Daniel prophesies of the next 600 years through the birth of Christ of the dominant empires that are going to rule. In your outline, it's on the website, I typed it out there, but that statue, head of pure gold, the Babylonia Empire. Chest and arms of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. The belly and thighs of bronze, that's the Greek Empire. The legs of iron, the Roman Empire that was ruling when Christ was born. And on it goes. There's so much prophecy in the book of Daniel. It truly is incredible. Let me just say this real quick, then I'm going to do something before we close here. But the third point is they were systematic in prayer. And I knew I wouldn't get to that today. We're going to go further into that. So we talk about prayer and the importance of it. Before we come to the closing hymn, we're going to sing a song just on the piano, and I'm going to pray for a little bit. We just need to do that together. These are serious times in which we live, and we call on God. We plead for his mercy. With this pandemic, we're fortunate right here in our county, it hasn't touched much, but right in Sioux Falls, it has. I've gotten a call from a very good friend, a Navajo friend on the reservation out there, who told me about this husband and wife who we know from our years there, who are both in the hospital. They are both on respirators fighting for their very life right now. Yeah, the one is 81. I think the wife and the husband is 78, something like that. Serious, serious deal. When it gets close to home, well, it is serious, but when we know individuals, it really touches the heart. So if you're at home watching, don't just get up and go do something right now. Please, just join in here, okay? going to sing this and then we're going to pray. You deserve the glory. Financial need has increased greatly. Maybe, Lord, there's a serious health issue going on, and it's difficult to even get out of the house. And cabin fever, as we call it, has set in. Lord, be with those. Be with those people. Father, maybe there's a loved one that's dying in a care center or in a hospital. We're not even able to go visit that person because everything being shut down. Be with those families, Lord God. Maybe we can't travel to visit our loved ones like we want to. Plans of weddings have to be changed greatly. Graduations of our high school seniors, not quite the same. The excitement that should be this month, Lord, be with them. And on I could go. Lord, thank you for your mercy to our nation. We need it. Father, you know what it takes to bring this nation to a standstill and a halt. You know what it takes for your power to turn this nation's eyes back to you. That is our prayer. Let it be so. Let it be done. Lord God, we do acknowledge that heaven rules in all the affairs of man. We humble ourselves before you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus for our closing hymn. He is our friend, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Number 630. So if you'd like to stand, you sure can.
Thank you.
Please receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Excuse me. We're going to sing God Bless America again. I just feel that's important for us to do during this time. So please join us. Cheryl for music, beautiful music, and Jay and the sound crew in back. Remember to watch for that special service as well as this Sunday service. Thank you.